السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي ربي زدنا علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما آمين يا رب العالمين. Inshallah, we're going to do ayah 32 to 36 of Surah Al-An'am today. We'll start off with the word meanings, inshallah, beginning with ayah number 32. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم و and ما not الحياة ال means the حياة life الدنيا of the world دنيا means the near okay the world that we can see so الدنيا the world إلا except لعب a play or sport, wa, and lahwun, and amusement. And please note that the word ma, at the beginning of this ayah, after wa, does not mean that or what, like it normally does. It means not, because it's followed by illa, shortly afterwards. Okay, so wa ma and na al-hayat al-dunya, the life of the world, illa, except. Okay, لَعِبٌ وَلَهْبٌ a play and an amusement. Wa and لَدَّارُ la surely al the daru home al akhiratu al the akhira last or hereafter خَيْرٌ is better li for الَّذِينَ those who yattaqun they adopt taqwa. Taqwa is the root word, taqwa, and that means Allah consciousness, to fear Allah, to be conscious of Him. Ya in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person, and una ending makes this word plural. So it means they fear, or they adopt taqwa and save themselves. Afala, ah in the beginning of this word is used to ask a question. So ah do fa then la not taqilun you all understand. Aql is the root word ayn qaf lam and that means to understand, to use one's intellect. Ta in the beginning means you and una ending makes this word plural. So afala do then not taqilun you all understand. Qad, in fact, na'lamu, we know. Ilm is the root word, and that means to know. And noon in the beginning means we. So na'lamu, we know. Innahu, inna indeed, hu it, la yahzunuka, la, surely. And then huzan, hazanun is the root word, and that means grief. Yahzunu becomes a verb and it's in the third person. So it means la yahzunu, surely it grieves ka you, meaning Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alladhi that yaquluna they say. Qul is the root word and that means a saying. Ya in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person and una ending makes this word plural. So yaquluna means they say fa innahum fa so inna indeed hum they la not yukadhibunaka. Kadhiba is the root word and that means a lie. Ya in the beginning makes this word a verb and it's in the third person and una before the ga the suffix at the end of the word. The una tells us this word is plural. So yukadhibuna, you in the beginning and una ending means they. So la yukadhibuna, they, not they will lie. K Ka, you, meaning Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa and lakinna, but al-dhalimina, those who do wrong. Dhulm is the root word, dhalamim, and that means injustice. Dhalim means one who is unjust, and ina ending makes this word plural. So al-dhalimina, those who do wrong, or those who are unjust. B, with ayati, verses, signs, Allahi, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yajhadun, they reject. Ya in the beginning tells us that this word is in the third person, una ending makes it plural, so yajhadun means they reject or deny. Walaqad, wa and, la, surely, qad, in fact, kudhibat, were belied. Kadhiba is the root word again, and that means a lie. Kudhibat, were belied. This is in the passive form, rusulan. Rusulun, messengers. This is plural for the word rasul, which means one messenger. So rusulun, messengers. Min, from qabilika, qabili, before, ka, you. And it refers to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fa, so, sabaru. They endured with sabr. Sabr is the root word, and that means patience. And vau, alif, at the end of this word, at the end of the verb here, tells us that this is in the third person. So, fa sabaru, so they endured with patience. And the waw alif at the end tells us that it's plural. Okay, not that it's in the third person, but that it's plural. So they did sabr. Ala, upon, ma, what, kudhibu, they were belied. Wa and udhu, they were hurt. Adha is the root word, and that means hurt or an injury. So udhu is plural, and it's in the passive tense as well. So wa'udhu, and they were hurt or inflicted with pain. Hatta, until. Atahum, ata, came, hum, to them. Nasruna, nasr, help. Na, ours. Wa, and. La, not. Mubaddila, anyone who changes. Badal is the root word, badalam, and that means to change. Mim in the beginning makes this word a noun. So mubaddila, anyone who changes. Li, to or for. Kalimat, words. This is plural for kalima, which means a word. So kalimat, words, Allahi, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Walaqad, wa and la, surely, qad, in fact, ja'aka, ja'a, it came, ka, to you, min, from, naba'i, special news, al, the, mursaleen, those who were sent, the rasuls. Rasul is the root word here, rasin lam, and that means messengers. And mursal means the one that is sent. Al-mursal. And ina ending makes this word plural. So al-mursaleen, those who were sent, meaning the messengers. Wa, and, in, if, kana, it was, kabura, big or hard or became big. Alay, upon, ka, you, meaning Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'raduhum, i'rad means to turn away, aversion or turning aside, hum, theirs. Fa, then, in, if, istata'ata, you are capable. Da in the beginning means you, and istata means to be able to do something. So fa in, then if, is the tata, you were able or capable. An, that, tabtawi, you seek. Ta in the beginning means you. You seek or search, nafaqan, a tunnel. Fi, in, Al-Awradi, Al means the, Awradi, earth, aw, or Sulaman, a ladder, fi, in, as-sama'i, Al means the sama'i, sky, fata'tiyahum, fa, so, ta'tiya, you come, ta means you, and ati means to bring or come with something. So, fata'ti, so you come home to them, be with ayatin, a sign. So instead of saying you come to them with a sign, it's better in English, it makes more sense to say you bring them a sign. So fa, so ta'tiyahum bi ayatin, you bring them a sign. Wa, and lo, if sha'allahu, sha'a, willed Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, la jama'ahum, la, surely, jama'a, gathered, he gathered, hum, them, ala, upon, al-huda, al means the, huda, guidance, fala, fa, so, la, do not, takunanna, kun is the root word and that means to be. Ta in the beginning means you. So takuna, you be. And then the noon mushaddad at the end means definitely. It adds more emphasis to whatever is being said. So fala, so do not, takunanna, you definitely be, min, from, al-jahileen, those who are ignorant. Jahil is the root word and that means the one that's ignorant. So ina ending makes this word plural. So al jahilin, those who are ignorant. Innama, indeed, not but. Yastajibu. Ya in the beginning tells us that this word is in the third person, and istajaba means to respond in a positive sort of way. So yastajibu, he answers, he responds positively. Alladhina, those who, yasma'un, they listen. Sama'a is the root word and that means hearing. Ya in the beginning tells us that this word is in the third person, and una in the end tells us that this is plural. So yasma'un, they listen. Wal mawta, wa, and al, the mawta, dead ones. Yab'athuhum, ba'atha means to raise. Ya in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person, it's a verb. So yab'athu, he raises or he resurrects. Hum, them, Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thumma, then, ilayhi, ilay, to, only to, he, him, yurja'un, they will be returned. Raja'a is the root word and that means to return. Ya in the beginning tells us that this word is in the third person. Una at the end makes this word plural and it's in the passive form. So yurja'un, they are returned or they will be returned. Alhamdulillah. Now we're going to start the tafsir of these ayat inshallah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما الحياة الدنيا إلا لعب ولهو. And the life of this world is nothing but play and amusement. For the people who don't believe that there is a hereafter, they should know that the life of this world is just play. It's just games and amusement. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the words la'ib and lahw here in this ayah to describe this life, the life of this world. Now let's try and understand what these words mean first before we continue. Lahw are things that distract a person from what their purpose is. Okay, they distract them from their purpose, from what they're supposed to be doing. So when someone gets so busy with something that it makes them forget about their purpose in life, that's lahva. Whatever distracts them is lahva. Lahva things make people forget that they have an aim in life, that they have a goal. And lahva keep people so occupied that they forget about the real goal. They can't focus on the important things in life. And laab refers to things people do that don't benefit them in this world or in the hereafter. Laab things are not beneficial at all. So if we take the example of a person who works to make a living, we can't say that they're caught up in laab. Okay, because that person has a purpose, because they're doing something beneficial. But a person who is caught up with laab activities does not benefit from them in any way. So laab is like playing. It's like a game, wasting time, because it doesn't have an outcome. Like when people play a game, they fold a board game and put it away. No matter how long they continue to play, at the end they put it away. And then that's it. It's over. That's the things. So laab is used to describe the things that people do that don't help them in this life or the hereafter. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that the life of this world is lahw and laab, play and amusement. Now, does this mean that lahw and laab things are forbidden in Islam? That we should never do them because they're haram? No. They're not totally haram. And it's not that we can't ever spend time doing these things, or, you know, some people say that they want to have fun, so they play games and do things like that, and it's not sinful. Okay, but we must stay focused on our real goal, which is to prepare for the hereafter. Okay, for our eternal lives. So we shouldn't get so carried away with lahv and laab things that we forget about our purpose. Then that's when it becomes wrong, because then we're just wasting time. It's okay to do them once in a while, but not all the time. And we know that lahv and laab are not forbidden completely, because we know from a Bukhari hadith, there was a group of Abyssinians performing a celebratory dance with spears and shields in the masjid in Medina. And Umar radiallahu anhu entered and he saw. So he threw a small pebble at them. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him, "O Umar, leave them alone." And we also know from a Muslim and Bukhari hadith about when Aisha radiallahu anha went to the masjid on Eid day to watch the men from Ethiopia play with their spears. These are examples of laab, or games or sports. Next, we find out that lahv, or entertainment, is okay to a certain level. Aisha radiallahu anha said that she was involved in preparing a woman for marriage to a man from the Ansar. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked her if there was any entertainment present. He said, "Oh Aisha, is there any lahv?" Because the Ansar are fond of lahv, or entertainment. He meant something like playing the drums or singing, according to scholars. From Nisa'i, we learn that Amir bin Sa'd said, I went to a wedding with Qurayza bin Ka'b and Abu Mas'ud Ansari, where little girls were singing. I said, "You are both Sahaba of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the Battle of Badr, and this is happening in front of you?" And they replied, "If you want, you can stay with us and listen to the song, but if you prefer to leave, you can." We are allowed to do things for entertainment at a wedding. They meant that they can listen to the little girl singing. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had horseback races, and he made people race on foot too, and he even participated in a race. He even participated in a wrestling match. So we can't say that lahv and lab are totally forbidden, because they're not. But these things are only allowed as long as they don't involve betting on the games or sports, and people don't waste their prayers being caught up in them, that they don't get too occupied with them, that they forget all about their prayers. Also, people should be mindful about not wasting too much time with those things. And if the activity makes a person neglect their ibadat, where they just spend too much time doing it, and then they're not able to do the normal things that they must do, and they start doing something that Islam does not allow, then they must avoid that activity, because then it becomes haram. Okay, so when does lahv and laab become haram? When people waste too much time doing those things that they get so distracted that they forget that they have to pray or do all the things that are fard on them in Islam, that are obligatory, okay, then it becomes haram. And also, if they get caught up in anything that Islam does not allow, that's haram, of course. Now, back to the point that the life of this world is just amusement and play. Nothing more than that. How? Because when people play a game, that game ends at one point or another, and they put it away, right? It's put away. That's how the life of this world is, like a game that people play for some time, and then it's time for them to leave from here, to leave everything behind and move on. That game is wrapped up and put away, and they move on to the phases after death. Just like a game is not for real, and nobody says that it's the reality, their actual life, the life of this world is not the reality either. People enjoy the life of this world for some time, and then it ends. When people play games, they get really involved, right? They're so caught up in the game. That's how the life of this world is too. It makes people so caught up in worldly matters that they forget about the real goal of life, the purpose of life. And our hearts and minds become so full of this dunya that we don't even remember that we have to do good deeds and prepare for the hereafter, which will be our real life. When people play a game, they become very serious about it. And if they win, they think that they have accomplished everything. And in case they lose, they feel like they lost everything. If you watch a game, the losing team even starts crying sometimes when they're defeated. And the winning team celebrates as if all their dreams have come true. Subhanallah. If we think about the Day of Judgment, this is how people will feel there too. the end of a game and how people react to the outcome can be like a glimpse of how people will feel on the Day of Judgment. Those who find out that they'll be admitted to Jannah will be really happy, and they'll be celebrating. And there will be others who will be crying there. They'll be extremely sad. They would have lost everything. If only we can understand that the game of this life, the result of a sports game, is nothing compared to the test of the hereafter. Okay, so the games people play here are nothing compared to the ultimate test. The happiness people experience after winning the game comes to an end. And so does the sadness people feel when they lose. Right? They get over it. But the life of the hereafter is forever. And victory or loss there is much more serious than anything here in dunya. Because this is just the temporary life of dunya. Just the near. We can't see the hereafter because it's the ghaib, but that is the real life. The real success and failure is of the Day of Judgment, because that will determine how we live our eternal lives. The failures and success of this world are so temporary. So they're nothing in comparison. But losing on the Day of Judgment would mean to be a loser forever. And winning on that day would mean to accomplish everything, to have won for good, forever, for a life that will never end. The life of this world is just a game. So why do we get so attached to things here? We cry over things here and have so many hopes and dreams for it. And we want the pleasures and the luxuries of this life as if that means everything. But all these things are nothing. When we wake up to the real life of the hereafter, we'll find out that that's what reality is. Laab and lahv last for a short time. No matter how long a game is, it is going to end. We have to understand that the life of this world is just like that. It's very short and it will end soon. And if we think about it, the people who waste a lot of time with lahv and laab things are children, usually, right? Or people who don't take life seriously. Similarly, when it comes to the pleasures and the attractions of this life, it's ignorant people or negligent people who waste a lot of time being caught up with such things. Because anyone who's worried about the hereafter doesn't get so carried away doing these things for entertainment or fun that they forget about everything else. They remember the purpose of their life. Once Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was traveling with a bunch of men when they passed by a dead baby goat. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "What do you think? When its owners threw it out, was it worthless to them?" Meaning, did they consider it worthless? And the Sahaba, his companions, answered, "They threw it out because it is worthless." Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them, "I swear by the one in whose hand is my life, dunya is even more worthless, according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, than the baby goat is worthless to its owners." From a hadith, we learn, if this dunya had any value, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not have given a kafir, meaning a disbeliever, even a sip of water to drink. But it's worthless. That's why we learn from another hadith that the value of dunya This world is less than the wing of a mosquito. So it's not even equal to a mosquito. It's less than the wing of a mosquito. How small is that? Something we've never even seen because it's so small. The whole world is less valuable, according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, than the wing of a mosquito. Allahu Akbar. So all the things we own, all the things we consider valuable, are nothing. They are totally worthless because they are a lot less than this whole world. Because this whole world has no value before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why do we care so much for worldly goods? We're trying to acquire so much as if they're so important. And some people argue with family members and they fight over jewelry or properties and other things. They cause so many issues for each other and hold grudges against each other just because of these worldly things. They would never do that if they understood that these things have no value at all. If only they knew the reality. People compete with each other when it comes to clothes and homes and cars, worldly possessions. But do these things matter when the whole world has such little value before Allah? It's not even valuable. So do these little things matter? How valuable can our clothes and houses, cars, or belongings possibly be? These things are all worthless. And if we're still competing to attain more and more of them, we have not found out about the reality of this life. It means that we don't know the reality of dunya. If we did, we wouldn't bother with such things. And we wouldn't be so sad over the losses and the problems we face here. Of course, it's natural to be sad for some time, right? When something bad happens or a problem occurs, it's natural to feel sad, a little sad at that time. But it's not sensible to become depressed over it, as if that's all that they can think about. That's all they should be doing. But when it comes to attaining the success, the happiness, the benefits of this life, people celebrate so much when they attain any sort of success here, as if they have accomplished everything. This is why people dance so much at weddings, as if they have accomplished the world. They think they have to express their happiness that way, by dancing. But we forget that the life of this world is just the near. It's temporary. The happiness here does not last forever. And neither does sadness that people experience. They all end. We should make dua for happiness on the Day of Judgment. Because that happiness will last forever if we succeed there. And if anyone is sad on that day, they'll be sad forever. Astaghfirullah. So the happiness, the benefits and losses of this life are nothing in comparison. This worldly life that people run after is just la'ib wa lahb. وَلَلدَّارُ الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لِلَّذِينَ يَتَّقُونَ And the life of the hereafter will be better for those who are righteous. It's good for those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This means that it's not better for everyone. Okay, the life of the hereafter is only good for those who fear Allah, who adopt consciousness of Allah. For some, the life of the hereafter will be a place of severe punishment. But for people who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they're conscious of Him, it will be much better than this dunya. People who remember that they will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one day, and they prepare for that meeting are the ones whom the hereafter will be better for. They are sensible people, and they prepare for their eternal lives. The home of the hereafter is best, because it will never come to an end. And there will be no sadness, no pain or illness or old age, no loss or separation there. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ? Will you not use your common sense? People are so sensible about everything else. They're really smart about what sort of work to do for a living or where to invest their money to increase it. But don't they understand where they should invest their time and energy for that ultimate success? Why do they not understand that? It makes sense to understand now, so we can prepare for our eternal lives by doing a lot of good deeds. That's how we can get to Jannah, if we invest our time and energy wisely. And remember what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said: the person who invests their time for the benefit of this worldly life goes through some sort of loss in the hereafter. And whoever works for the hereafter goes through some sort of loss in this worldly life. So you should always prioritize the eternal life over the one that will end soon. So prioritize the hereafter over this dunya, because we can't have both. We can't think that we can handle both things perfectly. Obviously, we would have to leave some of the things we do just for this temporary life. Okay, leave some of those things in order to make time to do things for our eternal lives of the hereafter. We have to cut back on some things here and give up doing certain things in order to save our time and energy for doing good deeds for the hereafter, for the akhirah. If we don't sacrifice anything or give up any of our activities that take most of our time, we will not have enough time to prepare for the hereafter. That's the reason why many people today say that they have no time for the Quran, even though they're Muslims. They never bother to take out time to study the Quran, even though the Quran is the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it guides us in every aspect of our lives. We have to understand the orders of Allah in order to practice Islam properly. So there should be no excuses. We have to make time, no matter how busy we may be. The life of this world is a great blessing. We can't think that we have to separate ourselves from this world and cut off from others completely and just sit there doing ibadah, worship of Allah, just because the words lahv and lab are used to describe this dunya, this near life. That's not what it means. This life is a great blessing, subhanAllah, in which we can do good deeds and save up for the hereafter, so we can succeed and get to Jannah. Now is the time that we must avail, because what we do today will determine our result of the hereafter. We don't want to fail on the Day of Judgment and end up suffering forever. One hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "I'm not afraid that you," meaning his ummah, "will be needy or will suffer because of poverty. Instead, I'm worried that you'll be granted so much like the people before you, and then you will start loving this life the way they did. As a result, it will destroy you just like it did with the former people. Allahu Akbar." And that's the truth. We get so caught up in dunya that we feel like we can't take out time to do anything for the hereafter. But we have to understand that we can't possibly take out time to prepare for the Akhirah if we spend all our time doing things for this life. Out of the 24 hours that we have in our lives on a daily basis, how much of that 24 hours do we spend preparing for our eternal lives, for the hereafter? We have to think about this and take out time to prepare and try our best to do more. Otherwise, this time will pass and it's being wasted if we're not using it properly. The things we do for the life of this world that are lab and lahab will not accompany us when we die. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks, أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ? Will you not use your common sense? After this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to be so worried about people when they didn't accept Islam. He used to be so sad when they didn't listen. They used to challenge him to show them a sign, a miracle, and they said that they would believe after that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this in the upcoming ayah.
قَدْ نَعْلَمُ إِنَّهُ لَيَحْزُنُكَ الَّذِي يَقُولُونَ فَإِنَّهُمْ لَا يُكَذِّبُونَكَ وَلَكِنَّ الظَّالِمِينَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ يَجْهَدُونَ.
O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know it well. What they say grieves you. It is not you they deny. These wrongdoers actually deny the revelations of Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him that he knows how Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam felt after people said things to him and they rejected him. And what was it that the disbelievers said? They used to say many things. They rejected the Quran and said that there won't be a day of judgment. And they asked to see miracles. So they gave him a really hard time, one way or another. They laughed at Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they taunted him. They didn't listen to him. It saddened him to see what they were doing. فَإِنَّهُمْ لَا يُكَذِّبُونَكَ. Then indeed, they do not deny you, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they did not deny him.
وَلَكِنَّ الظَّالِمِينَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ يَجْهَدُونَ.
But it's the ayat of Allah that the wrongdoers reject. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that it had nothing to do with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were rejecting what he said because they were rejecting the ayat of Allah. So he didn't need to be sad because they did not have anything against him personally. And that's the truth. Abu Jahl himself said to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one time, "We don't think you would lie, and we don't belie you, but we reject this book and this religion that you have brought." He said that he had no problem with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we know that they called him Sadiq and Amin, the truthful one and the trustworthy. But as soon as the revelation started to come and he became a prophet, they had an issue with him all of a sudden. So it wasn't that they didn't like him. They liked his character and his manners. They respected him. But they couldn't stand the ayat of Allah, the Quran, and they didn't like Islam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarifies this for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there's a lesson for all of us in this. Because sometimes we call people to Islam. We call them towards Allah, but they don't listen. And you may be telling them over and over again, but they still don't listen. And it makes you sad. But you should remember that it's not you
who they are rejecting. It's the message of Allah that they reject. Remember that they don't value the message of Allah, so they're rejecting the message. So if we keep that in mind, it helps, because then we don't get discouraged. When you invite someone to study the Quran, but that person tells you that they don't have time for it, or they present other excuses, they're not hurting you in any way. They're not harming you, because it's not like you're calling them to do something for you. You don't need a favor from them, but they say that they don't have time. When they say that, they are answering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's call in that way. They're basically saying to him that they don't have time for his book because they're too busy doing other things that are more important to them. So we shouldn't be upset that other people don't listen. All we have to do is convey the message. That's our responsibility. وَلَقَدْ كُذِّبَتْ رُسُلٌ مِّن قَبْلِكَ. And surely, in fact, many messengers before you were denied. فَصَبَرُوا. But they endured with patience. عَلَى مَا كُذِّبُوا. Upon what they were belied. وَأُوذُوا. And they were hurt. They were persecuted. We know that Nuh alayhi salam was beaten up so badly by his people that they used to beat him and throw him in the house afterwards. That's how they persecuted him. حَتَّى أَتَاهُمْ نَصْرُنَا. Until our help came down to them. This was a hint that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help would come to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam soon, just as it did for the other messengers before. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did help him and the Muslims. That's how the conquest of Makkah took place afterwards. It started off with success at the Battle of Badr, and then many more after that, many more battles. And that led to the Muslims conquering Makkah and Islam spreading to so many parts of the world. The people who had been Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's enemies accepted Islam. Like we learned about Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. He fought against Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the Battle of Badr, and he caused a great loss to the Muslims. But he became his companion, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sahabi, after he accepted Islam. And Abu Sufyan, Wahshi, Ikrama, the son of Abu Jahl, they all accepted Islam. And this was all due to the help of Allah that came. وَلَا مُبَدِّلَ لِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ. And none can change the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody can change the law of Allah. And so when he says that something will happen a certain way, nobody can change that. Secondly, his decision does not change, and the way he does things does not change. He has decided to help you, and he helps those who are patient. He has decided to test people, and it's after those tests that people get to their destination. Okay, that's how people succeed. After tests, they achieve their goals after trials. This is what he has decreed, and it cannot be changed. وَلَقَدْ جَاءَكَ مِن نَبَأِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. And certainly, you have already received the news of what happened to those messengers. That's why he was given those special news, so he would know that he's not alone. The same thing happened with other prophets too, when their people persecuted them or denied them. Now, the next ayah is challenging. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant me the tawfiq to explain it properly, because it's a very stern ayah that was meant for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Really strict. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something stern in this ayah, and we are the ummatis of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We belong to his ummah, right? He is our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we cannot dare to think or say anything disrespectful about him. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him here is between the Rabb and his slave, between the Rabb and his Abd. And no matter how high the ranks of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam are, he is still the servant of Allah, right? He is still an Abd. He's a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Lord is Rabb, and nobody can ever get to his level. And what we are about to learn is what a Rabb says to his Abd. He can talk to him whichever way he wants, and we have no right to judge in any way. We don't need to go too much into detail, but the point is, people used to go to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam on a daily basis, challenging him to show them miracles. They said that they would accept Islam if he performed a miracle for them. This upset Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a lot, because he really wanted them to believe. So he wished that a miracle would be shown somehow so they might accept Islam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had decided already, لَا مُبَدِّلَ لِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ. None can change the decree of Allah. Nobody can dare to change it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had decided already. And there was divine wisdom in not showing them a miracle. How? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew that Abu Sufyan, Khalid bin Walid, and so many others would accept Islam after some time passed. He knew that they just needed time to accept Islam. And once people see a miracle, they don't get a second chance if they reject Islam after that. Okay, so at that point, if they see a miracle, when it's shown to them, if they reject, they are seized for it. They're punished right away. This is what happened to the people before them too. They're not granted respite after they see a clear miracle. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rules do not change. He will not make them different. For the mushrikeen of Mecca, from what it had been before. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had decreed not to show them a miracle. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam really wanted to make them believe. He wanted them to believe because he wanted the best for them. So he wanted to be able to perform a miracle just to show them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن كَانَ كَبُرَ عَلَيْكَ يَرَادُهُمْ. And if you find their aversion hard to bear, if it's difficult for you to put up with them turning away after you not performing a miracle for them, if it's that big of a deal for you that they're turning away, if it's that important that it's becoming painful for you, فَإِنِ اسْتَطَعْتَ أَن تَبْتَغِيَ نَفَقًا فِي الْأَرْضِ, then see if you are able to make a tunnel in the ground. Then see if you are capable of making a tunnel in the ground. أَوْ سُلَّمًا فِي السَّمَاءِ, or put a ladder to ascend in the skies. فَتَأْتِيَهُمْ بِآيَةٍ, so you can bring them a sign. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that he will not show them a miracle or a sign. But if Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam really cared so much to show them one quickly, without waiting, just to show them a miracle, then he could try his best. He could try all he wanted, either to dig a tunnel in the ground or to climb up a ladder in the sky to bring them a miracle. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refused to show them a miracle. So the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam here is similar to how a mother tells her child about some matter. When she says, do whatever you want, I'm not going to listen to you. So next, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know well that walau sha'a Allah, and if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted, لَجَمَعَهُمْ عَلَى الْهُدَىٰ, surely he would have given guidance to all of them. He tells Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had wanted those people to believe, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam really wished would believe, if Allah wanted them all to accept Islam and obtain guidance, he would have gathered all of them together and forced them all to be guided. That would not have been difficult for him at all. He makes so many other things happen that we can't even imagine anybody even thinking of doing. He set the sun in one place and it does its work, right? It stays, it doesn't just fall over, and it doesn't go out of its determined place. And so does the moon, right? All these things do the work that they were created to do, the sun, the moon, and the sky, right? And they are huge creations of Allah. So he could have made humans obey too, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not force people to believe. He didn't want to show them miracles just so they would accept Islam somehow. They had to accept without seeing miracles, without being compelled to believe. فَلَا تَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ, and do not be like the people overcome by emotion. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not to go overboard with his emotions. The meaning of jahil here does not mean someone who is ignorant, astaghfirullah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not use that word to describe Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The word jahil here actually means someone who is emotional, because normally prophets are able to control their feelings, but they cared so much for their people. They wanted the best for them. So he was so overwhelmed. He was so eager to get them to accept Islam somehow. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not able to be patient. He wasn't able to remain patient and just wanted to do what they asked for, just so they would believe. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he should not be overcome by emotion. That's how we should translate the word jahil in this ayah, instead of coming up with another meaning that is not suitable. إِنَّمَا يَسْتَجِيبُ الَّذِينَ يَسْمَعُونَ, surely those who listen to our revelations with an open mind. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is told that people who listen are the ones who respond positively. Only someone who listens would accept Islam anyway, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. We know that those who rejected did hear. That's why the word yastami'un was used. They came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and spent time with him and the Muslims, and they did hear what he was saying. They pretended to listen closely, but they didn't. Only those who did not have veils on their hearts and hollowness in their ears would have listened properly, and only they would respond. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying they don't even listen. They find it hard to bear when they hear the Quran, just to listen to it. So they ignore what they hear. And as for the dead, those with closed minds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring them back to life on the Day of Judgment. Those with dead hearts are dead, according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though they walk on this earth, because they don't listen to the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only the living can respond to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent. Only the living can respond to what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him. And who listens? Only those who have the desire to listen. Only those who want to listen. And the ones who don't hear are those with a veil over their hearts and deafness in their ears. They never listen. They are dead. They will only listen when they're resurrected on the day of judgment. ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ يُرْجَعُونَ. Then only to him they'll be returned. They have to return to him one day. They can't go anywhere else. There's no escape. So nobody can force people who don't want to obtain guidance to listen. And nobody can wake up those with dead hearts. But what will wake them up? The earthquake of the Day of Judgment, when they'll be returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then they'll wake up. Subhanallah. Think about this. These people are dead in the sight of Allah. There are some people around us who are alive. They are living, just like we do, but they're dead in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are some others who we say have died already, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us not to call them the dead. He says, don't say that they're dead. They are alive, but we can't perceive it. Subhanallah. That's what he says about them. And we know that's about the shuhada, right? He says, you think they're dead, but they're alive near Allah, and they're provided rizq. But some people around us, whom he described in these ayat, walk around and they live on this earth. They breathe. And we think they're alive because they can see, they can hear, they can function, their body is able to function. They're able to think. They do normal things that people do. But when their hearts have veils over them, when their hearts are dead, it may look like they're alive to us, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they're dead. Astaghfirullah Rabbi. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us against the hardening of the hearts, and may he protect us from becoming among those with dead hearts. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Jazakumullahu khairan kathira. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.